You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Happy Blue Friday to all of our listeners. We are approaching championship weekend in the NFL, and even though the Seahawks aren't going to be participating, several impending free agents will be on display with a berth to the Super Bowl on the line. As part of a jam-packed show, I'm going to be checking out a few offensive and defensive free agents from each team that may interest the Seahawks once we get to free agency in March. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. In a move that seemed like nothing more than a formality at this point, the Seahawks have removed the interim label from coach Larry Izzo. He will be elevated to the full-time special teams coordinator position in 2021, replacing Brian Schneider, who reportedly is going to join Urban Meyer's staff with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Izzo was actually a special teams assistant the last three seasons for the Seahawks. Before that point, he spent some time with the New York Giants as well as the Houston Texans, and he had a lengthy career, a three-time Pro Bowler known for his special teams prowess, and he has translated that skill set to the coaching ranks and really executed one heck of a test drive, replacing Schneider, who ended up leaving during training camp for personal reasons. At the time, it was unclear how long he was going to be out and away from the Seahawks. And it turned out later in the season, we found out he returned to the Seahawks on more of an advisor capacity. But this was Izzo's show the entire season. And man, the Seahawks made tremendous strides on special teams overall this year. Jason Myers went a perfect 24 for 24 on field goals. He made a 61-yard field goal, the longest in franchise history. He currently holds and is extending the record for the most field goals made in franchise history. Consecutively, he broke Olindo Mari's record earlier this year. Michael Dixon, the punter position, he was third in the league in yards per punt, and he had the most punts inside the opposing 20-yard line in the entire NFL this year. He could have easily been an all-pro selection again, like he was during his rookie campaign. Nick Ballore had 14 special teams tackles. Cody Barton was a beast on kick and punt coverage as well. DJ Reed, he comes in middle of the season, and not only does he help the secondary for the Seahawks, but he provides a jolt in the return game as well. Ballore and Tyler Ott, the long snapper, were both Pro Bowl selections for the first time for the Seahawks, and you could make a strong argument that maybe they were not the most deserving players on special teams to make the Pro Bowl. And that's not saying they didn't deserve it. That's how good the special teams units were for the Seahawks this year. Jason Myers and Michael Dixon both had very strong, compelling arguments for not only being Pro Bowlers, but all pro selections. So in all phases on special teams, the Seahawks were much better than they have been in a long, long time. And overall, the Seahawks finished third in DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. Last year, they were 17th in DVOA on special teams in that category. And so clearly, this unit played much, much better with Izzo at the helm. And now the good news is he's going to get an opportunity to prove this wasn't a fluke. And when you look at what the Seahawks have hitting the free agent market, obviously some very important players are going to be hitting free agency. One of them being Nick Ballore. He is going to be a free agent, but I don't anticipate the market's going to be crazy for a fullback that doesn't play very many snaps on offense and is primarily a special teams player. I think if the Seahawks want to bring him back, they will be able to. Most of their key special teams players are under contract for 2021. Jason Myers is going to be back. Michael Dixon's going to be in the final year of his rookie contract, so they'll have to figure out a new deal for him here in the near future. But he's going to be under contract, ready to punt footballs inside the 20-yard line, and they're going to have DJ Reed back as well. A lot of the key players that they have been relying on this past season on special teams are already under contract. The couple that are going to be hitting free agency are not going to be high-priced veterans that they're going to have an impossible time keeping. There are going to be some players that they'll be able to pay pretty cheap, affordable contracts to bring them back if they want to bring players like Ballore back. Certainly all indications have been that they're going to be interested in doing that. We'll see. They may want to go after another fullback, which would complicate things a little bit. A lot of this rides on who becomes the offensive coordinator and what the approach is going to be in 2021. And obviously that is yet to be decided, but no matter what, special teams should remain a strength for this team. And they have to feel pretty confident with Larry Izzo now calling the shots, given how well he performed in this position last season. And of course, his pedigree being a really darn good player on special teams back in the day. This is a perfect fit for a football team, as I said, should have a strong special teams unit for the foreseeable future. Coming up next in the second quarter, we've got championship weekend coming up right around the corner here, and you're going to have two very compelling matchups coming up. You've got the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, as well as the Buccaneers and the Packers. I'm going to be looking at that NFC matchup, getting ready to battle at Lambeau Field, and looking at two free agents on each of those teams that may be an interesting player to go after in free agency once the new league year starts in March. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Top 10. Top 10 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. As an avid weightlifter and distance runner, I'm always looking for an edge when it comes to nutrition, seeking delicious, healthy protein bars without the crazy additives. Since being diagnosed with celiac disease, my options have been pretty limited. Until now. Enter in the Built Bar, a low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, gluten-free protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar now comes in 18 mouth-watering flavors, including six new delicious flavors such as caramel brownie and cookies and cream. My all-time favorite is peanut butter brownie, which is 20 grams of protein, just 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. Since I had my first Built Bar, I never go without one when I hit the weight room or go for a jog. All Built Bars are 100% chocolate, nut and gluten-free, soft and easy to chew, and don't have the nasty aftertaste of competing protein bars. Sound too good to be true? Go to BuiltBar.com and build your own custom box with your choice of flavors using the code LOCKEDON for $10 off. You will also receive a free cooler with your first purchase while supplies last. So what are you waiting for? Change your workout game by going to BuiltBar.com and entering code LOCKEDON for $10 off. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Blue Friday edition. I'm your host, Corbin Smith. Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. We are now officially to championship weekend, one of the best weekends in any sport. Four teams remaining in the NFL playoffs trying to get to the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. And interestingly enough, we have one of those rare situations where a team could end up playing in its home stadium for the Super Bowl. And that is the Buccaneers, led by Tom Brady and company. But they've got a huge challenge on their hands coming up this weekend. They did beat the Green Bay Packers in the regular season. In fact, they beat them convincingly, picked off Aaron Rodgers a couple of times, and ended up winning by four scores in that game. One of the bigger upsets of the season in terms of how badly they beat the Packers. But this is going to be a much different animal. It is no longer the middle of the regular season. It's January and at Lambeau Field. Who knows what the weather's going to look like? You could have snowballs hitting you and sub 10 degree temperatures out there on the field. And so it's going to be a different element, different set of elements that the Buccaneers have to deal with. But what I'm going to be doing here for our show today, obviously I'm going to give a prediction for the game here at the end of the segment, but I want to look at this game from a Seahawks perspective. They are going to be heading into the offseason with not a lot of cap space, but every team is going to be in a similar situation as far as having to try to restructure contracts, make extensions, cut some high-priced veterans, and there are going to be some good players that are not going to be re-signed because the salary cap is going to go down to $175 or $180 million due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And so With that being said, I'm going to look at one offensive and one defensive free agent from all the playoff teams. We'll start with this NFC matchup that may be players the Seahawks consider taking a look at once free agency opens in March. Let's start with the visiting team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Bucs, they're going to have some cap space to work with compared to a lot of teams. But the caveat to that is they have a lot of really good players that are going to be hitting the free agent market, a number of them being older players. But there's one name in particular that stands out to me. I think the chances of Chris Godwin actually hitting the market are probably pretty slim. When you're looking at a receiver that's only going to be 25 years old next year, he had a 1,300-plus yard receiving season just 2 years ago, battled some injuries this year, didn't quite get to 850 receiving yards in his first season with Tom Brady at quarterback, and he's been banged up throughout the season, still put up really good numbers. But if there is a year where a player like this is going to hit the market, it would be this year with the COVID-19 financial implications, because the Buccaneers have a bunch of free agents that they have to address here once they get into offseason mode. Mike Evans is already making big money at the receiver position. They have a few younger receivers that they've drafted that they really like. So it's not impossible that Chris Godwin could end up pricing himself out of Tampa Bay and he ends up hitting the market. At least he gets to test out the waters and see what other teams are going to be willing to pay. And when you consider how productive he was two seasons ago, his size is around 6'1", 210 pounds. He's got good athleticism, 4.4 speed, a big play threat that's had several 70-plus yard receptions in his short career. He can run routes from the slot and the outside. I expect, regardless of the financial situation for other teams, that if he hits the market, he is going to be commanding big bucks. So the chances of the Seahawks really being interested seem slim, right? Well, if you have a player like Godwin hitting free agency and you're the Seahawks, you've got to at least start thinking about, are there any pieces that we want to move on our own roster that may interest other teams? As crazy as it sounds, maybe you move on from Tyler Lockett, who's only going to have 1 year left in his contract. I don't think that's going to happen, but you could get 4 years younger at the receiver position and get a bigger player in Chris Godwin that can run routes out of the slot and from the outside. He has very similar speed, maybe not quite as quick, but he is a really good route runner and he's good after the catch. And so maybe he would add some elements to your offense that you're not getting from Tyler Lockett. It's not impossible they could find a way to squeeze him in there with the other two big name receivers. But at the same time, they're going to have to subtract some money at some point, which means you're going to have to move on from players. So again, I think it's slim he hits the free agent market. I think it's slim the Seahawks end up looking at him, but you can see a scenario playing out where maybe the Seahawks decide, you know what, we're going to move on maybe from Tyler Lockett here, or we're going to move on from another high-priced veteran, and we're going to give Russell Wilson another big-time weapon. And if Godwin hits the market, it's at least something that John Schneider in the front office would have to consider. Again, the odds of this happening are much less than 1%. But when you look at the rest of the offensive free agents for the Buccaneers, either it's guys that are not game changers or it's older players or players like Antonio Brown that you want to stay away from like the plague. And so this would be the one guy that's going to be a free agent that maybe has a chance to price himself out of Tampa Bay that might be available that the Seahawks can look at. And on defense, the Buccaneers have a few bigger names like Ndamukong Suh and Shaquille Barrett that are going to be free agents, but I don't see the Seahawks taking a look at either one of those players for price tag reasons. And last year, Shaquille Barrett might have been an intriguing player for them to look at, but John Schneider has not shown himself willing to pay big name pass rushers. And quite frankly, I don't think the need is going to be there if they're able to maintain Carlos Dunlap. They're going to get Darrell Taylor back. Alton Robinson's coming back for a second season after a surprising rookie year with 4 sacks. And Benson Mayoa could return as well. I just don't know that the need is going to be there to go after a player like Shaquille Barrett. And Ndamukong Suh, as good of a player as he is, he's getting to be an older player. And the Seahawks have had interest in him in the past. It's never worked out from a financial standpoint. So I don't see it happening this year. If there's a name on the Buccaneers free agent list that might be interesting to the Seattle Seahawks, it is at that defensive tackle position where I could see them adding a veteran that isn't going to break the bank. And that would be somebody like Steve McClendon. And I will say this, he's 35 years old right now. He is already an older defensive tackle, but the Seahawks have had some aging defensive tackles throughout the Pete Carroll era that have done just fine. It's a position that seems to age pretty well compared to other positions, and he's going to give you some versatility. He's 6'3", around 310, 315 pounds. He's played nose tackle. He's played three tech. It's not exactly the biggest need, but it's not a bad thing to have depth there. And who knows what's going to happen with Jaron Reed. I think he's going to be in a Seahawks uniform in 2021, but he's got a huge cap number, so they're going to have to figure out what to do there. It's not out of the question they could end up making a move there. And I think if they did do that, they would probably try to look for a little bit bigger name. But, I mean, Steve McClendon is a solid NFL player, and he has been for a long time. He's developed a little bit as a pass rusher in the second half of his career. He's not a guy that's going to rack up a bunch of sacks, but he can get to the quarterback a little bit. He's a solid run defender. He's well-respected in the locker room. And so he might be a guy that makes some sense for them that is not going to destroy your salary cap and is a guy that could come in as a rotational tackle and certainly help you on your defensive line. Now, looking at the Green Bay Packers, I had a lot of fun looking at the Packers list because they are one of the teams that are extremely cap-strapped. When you look at next year, according to Over the Cap, right now if the season ended, they would be $28 million in the red. And there are some other teams that are in worse position, believe it or not. But they are not going to be in a position where they're going to be able to keep very many of their big-name free agents. And so I think that's intriguing from a Seahawks standpoint because when you look at a couple of their biggest needs, the Packers have free agents that are going to be hitting the market at those positions. Starting on offense, Corey Linsley right now is making between $8 and $9 million per year on his contract. Ethan Posick was a solid starter for most of the season for the Seahawks last year, a mid-level guy. But he's going to be a free agent. He struggled down the stretch. The Seahawks absolutely need to find a way to continue getting better along the offensive line. Their playoff loss made that very clear, especially with the struggles in the interior. This is a position, the center spot, where spending some money could really be a difference maker for this football team. And Linsley is one of the best centers in the game. He was a first-team All-Pro this year for the first time, anchoring that Packers offensive line. He's 30 years old, so he's not necessarily old, but he's not the youngest center in the league either. That might be a reason why the Packers consider letting him walk, especially with the financial situation that they're in. Again, $28 million in the red, and there are ways you can make that up very quickly, doing some restructures, extending players. Every team is going to be tested on that this year, but I could see Linsley being a player, especially with Elgton Jenkins, a player that's really come into his own being on the roster, and he can play the center position. I could see the Packers making a very difficult choice and not re-signing him just because of their financial situation. If that happens, again, the Seahawks don't have a lot of money to work with, but if there is a position that the right player is available, that they can do some maneuvering to open up enough cap space to sign a player like Linsley, this is the guy to do it with. You bring him in and you instantly upgrade that offensive line. There are enough question marks in the middle. This would instantly improve that group. And so he might be the number one priority free agent that I'm looking at from a Seahawks perspective because they need to upgrade that center spot. He is a proven commodity at that position. And so if he hits the market and he's available, Seahawks absolutely need to be taking a look. That's where they can buck some trends and they can be very aggressive going after a player that was an All-Pro selection that could really improve this offense. And then on the defensive side of the ball, a player that a lot of our listeners are going to be very familiar with because of where he played college ball at, Kevin King, the pride of the University of Washington. He was a player a few years back that Seahawks fans were clamoring for Pete Carroll and John Schneider to draft him because when you look at his physical tools and his skill set, he checks off so many of the boxes that Pete Carroll loves at that corner position. He's 6'3", around 200 pounds, long arms, a physical player. He can come up and he can stick it. He's had his issues with missed tackles in the NFL, but he's a guy that can come up and make some big hits. He is a willing run defender. Last season, he had 5 interceptions, but in his 3 other NFL seasons for the Packers, he has 1 interception combined. He's been very up and down in his 4 years in the NFL. And the Packers are going to need to extend their other starting corner, Jaire Alexander, in the near future. And Alexander has been the better player by a wide margin since being drafted. He was their first rounder. They picked King in the second round a few years back. And this really was not a great year for King. He's had a couple of decent games in the playoffs, but a sub 60 overall grade from Pro Football Focus, only five passes defensed. He missed five games due to injury. And so this might not be a player that the Packers feel like they have the financial flexibility to bring back, because he just hasn't been as good, or he hasn't developed the way that I think the team envisioned. Last season, it looked like he was really turning the corner, and then he took a step back this year. If he hits the free agent market, I don't know what interest is going to be like from the league because of the missed tackles that he's had, the issues with getting interceptions. He's had his share of troubles in coverage, giving up big plays, but he would be a perfect candidate. Even though the Seahawks have had their issues over the years trying to bring in free agents at the corner position, this may be a player that bucks the trend because, again, he has everything that Pete Carroll wants at that corner position, from size, athleticism, length, physicality. This could be that case where a change of scenery could be just what the doctor ordered. And you know Seahawk fans would be really excited. The ones that root for the University of Washington, bringing him back to the Pacific Northwest, they have a need at the position. Shaquille Griffin might not be back. He's going to be a free agent. And so is Quentin Dunbar. And he only played six games last year in his first season with the Seahawks. They may not bring back either one of those players. And if that's the case, you have DJ Reed and you have Trey Flowers on your roster. They may want to have another guy that can come in and compete for a starting job and don't have a lot of draft picks to work with. So Kevin King is a name to keep a very close eye on when free agency arrives in March. As far as predictions go for me in this game, the Buccaneers obviously took care of business in the regular season. Again, one of the bigger surprise outcomes. Not that anybody was surprised the Buccaneers won. It's how they won in a dominant blowout fashion. That is not happening this weekend. And I don't see the Buccaneers going into Green Bay and getting a win in January. I think it's going to be a close game when you've got Tom Brady on the other sideline. He is going to make this a challenging contest. There's no question about it. The Buccaneers have a lot of weapons on the outside. Their defense has got plenty of playmakers. Devin White is the best young linebacker in football. He is a pleasure to watch. They've got a lot of talent. Vita Vea coming back to help against the run game in the middle is going to be a big deal too. But I just think Aaron Rodgers is playing too well right now. I don't see the Packers slipping up at home, and they're going to get back to the Super Bowl for the second time in Rodgers' career. I'm going to go Packers 34, Buccaneers 27. Again, I think this is a close one. You've got two outstanding Hall of Fame quarterbacks that are going to be going against each other. I just think playing in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers has been the MVP this year. They've got a running game to go with him. Devontae Adams has been fantastic this year, one of the top three receivers in the league. I just think the Green Bay Packers, this is the year for them to get back to the Super Bowl. Buccaneers are going to give them a fight, but not going to be quite enough. I've got Green Bay advancing to play in the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. When I return to the third quarter, going to be doing much of the same with the AFC matchup, looking at four free agents, two from each team, that may intrigue the Seahawks once free agency arrives in March. And, of course, my prediction for who's going to be joining the Packers in the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. I'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Are we ready for some football? Championship weekends coming up in the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs looking to go back-to-back, get back to the Super Bowl. They will be facing off against the Buffalo Bills in Kansas City. And in the NFC, the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers hosting Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Lambeau Field. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust: betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith. Glad to have you listening in here on Blue Friday. We have championship weekend coming up. Last quarter, I looked at the NFC matchup, the Green Bay Packers against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Lambeau Field. I predicted the Packers are going to be the ones advancing to the Super Bowl. Now let's get to the AFC matchup and, of course, some free agents that may intrigue the Seattle Seahawks when the new league year starts in March. We'll start with the visitors, the Buffalo Bills. Man, they're playing great football right now. The Baltimore Ravens were red hot going into that game last weekend, and the Bills shut down their offense. They held them to 7 points. It was an impressive victory for a team that for quite some time I have been thinking could be a Super Bowl dark horse. And now here we are, the Buffalo Bills, they have arrived, an outstanding quarterback. As far as players that could interest the Seahawks in free agency, this is a team that when I look at the free agent list for them this season, they don't have a lot of big names that are going to be hitting the market. The Buffalo Bills have a chance to be a perennial contender in the AFC. This is going to be a fun team to watch for a long time. Not a lot of big names that are going to be gone. Most of their key players are under contract for at least next season. On the offensive side of the football, there's one receiver, though, that I think would at least be worth a flyer from the Seahawks' perspective, and that's Isaiah McKenzie. He's a tiny little guy. We're talking 5'8", 175 pounds soaking wet. He's a tiny, shifty receiver. He's not somebody that's going to break the bank, not going to be one of the big-name receivers that's available in free agency. But here's why it could make sense. When you look at the Seahawks' salary cap situation, they are not in a position to go out and get a big name like a Chris Godwin, even though I talked about him last quarter. The chances of that happening are slim. It's not the biggest need on their roster, but they could certainly use another player that can run out of the slot, can play special teams, can run the football some when you're running jet sweeps. Isaiah McKenzie checks all those boxes. He had 5 receiving touchdowns this year. He has scored a couple rushing touchdowns earlier in his career. He's made some tackles on special teams. He's returned a few punts and kicks. To me, this is a player that, again, he's not going to be in your first, second, maybe even third tier of receivers that hit the free agent market, but he can be an improvement, a guy that can come in and improve your depth of the receiver position and still fit into your financial situations. And the Seahawks should know what he's capable of. He scored a touchdown against him when the Bills beat the Seahawks earlier this season. He's 26 years old, so he's a young receiver that does a lot of things well. Maybe not a master of one particular skill, but he is a solid football player that I think would be worth a look. On the defensive side of the football, there are not very many defensive players for the Bills that are even hitting free agency. The vast majority of their upcoming free agents are on offense, and so there aren't many options to choose from. I put Trent Murphy down because he is the one player I've linked to the Seahawks in the past when they've been looking for some pass rushing help without having to give up big draft picks or spend a lot of money. Trent Murphy's a guy that had 9 sacks in a season previously, but his production has waned in recent seasons. And if we're being honest here, I'm not seeing much of a need to add a pass rusher if Darrell Taylor's going to be back healthy. Everything's pointing to that. He returned to practice during the playoffs and got some good reviews from Pete Carroll. Benson Mayoa may be coming back. The rookie Alton Robinson had 4 sacks this year. It was a nice surprise. He's going to be back for his second season and should only get better. Carlos Dunlap is on the roster. We'll see what they do with him with his big cap number, but they want to have him back in uniform. I just threw out all those names. They just don't have the snaps available for somebody like Trent Murphy, who quite frankly only had 2 sacks this year. As I said, his production has waned. He would be that flyer veteran at 30, 31 years old that has produced in the league before. You're not going to be spending a bunch of money, but you bring him into training camp, and if he ends up impressing, then great. You have an extra depth piece. If not, you're not really losing anything financially. You can move on from him. He really would be the only free agent that makes any sense for me on Buffalo's list as far as a potential target for the Seahawks. As for the Kansas City Chiefs, a couple of interesting names here at positions, one that's a big need and one that, as I just mentioned, maybe isn't. But on offense, at the center position, I talked about the need to upgrade there. Maybe Corey Linsley can fill in, but they have a left guard vacancy as well. Mike Iupati is going to be a free agent. Who knows if Jordan Simmons, with his injury history, can be the guy there. They haven't been able to get Phil Haynes healthy. They need to find an upgrade at left guard. They don't have much money to work with, though. And that leads me to Mike Remmers, who has been a very reliable veteran for quite some time. He has bounced around. He's played for the Panthers, Vikings, Rams, Giants, now the Chiefs. He's been with 6 different teams in his career, but he's always been solid. He's never been a star, but he's always been a solid functional lineman that can play both guard spots. He's played both tackle positions. I'm sure he could play center if you needed him to. He's just one of those rare offensive linemen that can play any spot at any time. He's been durable for the most part. He's had a few nicks and bruises, but he's played most of the games he could have played in the last 5 or 6 years. And this season, he replaced Mitchell Schwartz, one of the best right tackles in the game. He replaced him, and he's been fantastic. No sacks, a 76 pass blocking grade from Pro Football Focus. Again, just a reliable veteran. You don't have to break the bank to sign him. He's a player that can come in and he can play left guard for you. He can play right guard. If Damian Lewis ends up at center, there's a possibility the Seahawks could end up doing that. I think they keep him at right guard, but they have options. Mike Remmers would be a veteran free agent that you could sign at an affordable price that is going to upgrade your offensive line, especially with how he played this season. So he would be the guy on offense for the Chiefs. I thought about Sammy Watkins, but he's had injuries. His production hasn't been great, and you're probably going to have to overpay to bring him to Seattle. I think Mike Remmers is the offensive free agent that makes the most sense from the Chiefs. And on defense, the Chiefs have a few players that I considered mentioning here. Breshad Breeland, the cornerback that previously started his career in Washington. He played a year for Green Bay. He's done some decent things in the league, but I don't know necessarily that he's the type of corner the Seahawks would be looking for. I think they want to have that taller, longer corner like Kevin King, even though DJ Reed maybe has changed how they prioritize that position. I think they're still going to be looking for that length and size and upside. I just don't know at this stage that Breshad Breeland's going to be any better than what he's been to this point, which has just been a league average corner for the most part. The player on their roster, though, that's always intrigued me, he hasn't really panned out as I thought he would. He was a developmental project coming into the league. That was Tano Passanio out of Villanova. He's around 6'7", 289 pounds. He's a really good athlete for that size. Last year, he had 4 sacks, and he had 22 pressures. So it seemed like he was really coming into his own in his third season. Again, he was very raw coming into the league. This year, only 2 sacks. Has not been much of a factor as a pass rusher, but he started 15 of the 16 games for the Chiefs. He's really improved as a run defender. Again, with that size, you can play him at either defensive end position. He's a guy that can swat passes away. He's got long arms. He's got a lot of starting experience now at this point. Still seems like there's a lot left there to try to pull out of him potential-wise. The fact is, these are the kind of free agents the Seahawks are going to end up pursuing because they're always looking for upside at a lower cost. And that's going to especially be the case this year. Passanio is a player that I've always been intrigued by, and I think you can get him for near veteran minimum, maybe just a little over that. I don't think with the Chiefs' financial situation, they're going to be throwing a bunch of money at him to keep him. I think he hits free agency, and I think he's a player that you can bring in at a fairly cheap price that I think Clint Hurt would have some fun working with when you consider, again, the size, the athleticism he has of that size. There have been flashes of production, but he just hasn't really panned out as a pass rusher the way that I thought he might. He's still a young enough player, though. He's only going to be 27 next season, that I think that's the kind of guy that you would take a flyer on and just see with different coaching and the change of scenery, can we maybe bring out better production out of this player? If you do, it's a home run. And again, just like Trent Murphy, if you don't, then you can move on from it. You have plenty of guys at that defensive end position, but as Pete Carroll always wants to do, you always want to compete. To me, Passanio is a guy that would be an enticing addition at a cheap cost that might end up panning out for you and improving your depth along the defensive line. As far as predictions go for this game, I've been torn on this one all week, especially with Patrick Mahomes. He's going to play, but he suffered a concussion last week in the win over the Cleveland Browns. I have some concerns about their defense as of late. I think the Buffalo Bills are a team of destiny in the AFC, and I've been thinking it since week 15, week 14 range. Late in the season, there was just something about this team, and they have gone so long since being in the Super Bowl. They had 4 straight Super Bowl appearances in the 90s and then went over 20 years without getting a playoff win. They've obviously won 2 playoff games this year, so they've broke that trend. I think they're going to break the other trend, their Super Bowl drought. I have the Bills pulling the upset. The Kansas City Chiefs won the regular season game. I think Buffalo gets some revenge. Josh Allen outduels Patrick Mahomes in this game. Buffalo gets a couple of turnovers on defense, and they hold on for a 38-34 win. So Buffalo Bills, Green Bay Packers, 2 cold weather teams, are going to be battling in Tampa Bay for a Lombardi trophy. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is, by going to our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. When I return on Monday with Rob Rang, we're going to be hearing from you, the listener, on one move you'd like to see the Seahawks make on defense this offseason, plus a first look at Seattle's draft capital going into the 2021 offseason. Enjoy your weekend. Go Hawks.